Welcome. If this is your first time at St Andrew's, welcome. And welcome to everybody who's watching online. We're going to be thinking about joy this morning. And before we begin our worship, can I just encourage you to think about bringing joy to others? There's a Jubilee tea this Friday. There's a Jubilee tea this week. And Rosemary Harrison, who's going to wave, needs some more scones and cakes in order to bring other people joy. So if you're like me and that's a disaster and nobody wants to eat your cake, this isn't for you. But if you're a cake maker, do please speak to Rosemary after the service and tell her what you can offer. So let's just take a moment of silence as we begin our worship this morning. Whether you're feeling joyful, whether you're having the worst of weeks, or something in between, God is here. Let's stand and say together. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Just going to read a verse from Zephaniah chapter 3. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. So let's sing together.
Hallelujah. Loud and loudly.
Can you help me? Can you help me? You don't have to speak. Can somebody help me? Come on then. So, do you like my bucket of joy? Do you? So, is my bucket of joy half full or is it half empty?
Half empty.
It's half empty. What do you think? Is my bucket of joy half full or half empty?
Half full.
Half full. What do you think?
Half full.
Half full. And what do you think?
Half full.
Half full. So we've got 3 votes for half full, and we've got 1 vote for half empty, and we've got a late comer to the party. Half full or half empty?
Half full.
Half full. Oh, look, what a lot of optimistic people we've got here. I wonder what you're like, whether you're half full or half empty kind of person. Let me tell you about my bucket of joy. So in here, we have corks. And every one of these corks represents a bottle of wine. Sorry if that's an aversion for you. But every single one of these corks represents a bottle of wine that we have drunk with someone who loves us or who we love over the last 30 years. There are more people than that, just saying. When we moved, we decided to all the corks that we found around the house, we would put into this lovely bucket. So there's a lot of joy in this bucket of joy. And the thing I love about this bucket of joy is that there's a lot of room for future joy. For other bottles of wine or soft drinks are also available that we will drink with people we love and who love us and who we don't yet know, which will bring joy. So I just want to say, as we think about joy today, you don't have to be full of joy to be joyful. And it's about what's the joy that we can find in every moment. And one of the things I know that brings joy in this church is early birds. And there's the most wonderful video that we're going to watch now to find out a bit more about what they do in early birds.
My name is Dave Bruce. I am the rector of St Andrews and All Saints Churches here in Melbourne, and we wanted to share a little bit about our special early bird service, which we have fortnightly on the 1st, 3rd and 5th Sundays of each month here at St Andrews in the church hall from 9 o'clock till 9:30. It's a special half-hour service for families with children under 7, and we have a great fun time.
It's a gentle way into church where you can come, children can be themselves, you're relaxed. It's very informal, so we have a fun time together singing, being creative. So we'd love you to come and join us at Early Birds, and you'd be very welcome. Just turn up, or you can always talk to me if you want to know a little bit more about it.
It's really actually engaging for the children, and I think introducing religion to small people is quite a daunting task, but Helen and Dave and all the people here actually just make it really accessible.
Can I get to do some art and then like doing some dancing and singing?
There's some of everyone. There's the whole family. He was entertained the whole time. They got to see lots of other little people, which is always nice.
I like how it was fast paced. So at 1 minute there was a song, and then very quickly after there was a different activity, and then there was a bit of a tour, and then there was like multimedia. So like it just kept them entertained really well.
We love coming because it's a little opportunity for the children to grow in their knowledge of Jesus and to build friends and have a little bit of community amidst or post COVID, which is fantastic.
So we'd really love to invite you to come along, come and bring your own rug to sit on. We'll provide everything else, a half hour special time of just doing church in a different way. It doesn't matter if the children are running around, it doesn't matter if they're noisy, it's just a special time for families to get together and explore this amazing story of Jesus.
One of the great joys of being a follower of Jesus is that we don't have to carry stuff with us, and that we can put it down and confess our sins to God. and not have them carried round with us like a burden. So let's stand together and confess our sins. Just quietly for a moment, think about the things that you've done this week, which have been a delight for you, and those things that have happened this week where you know that you need to confess those before God. Let's pray. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stay standing as we go into a time of worship.
Let the king of my heart be the wind to Thank you.
Please sit down. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed is your name. As we move towards the reading and our intercessions, I'm just going to invite Helen Simpson to come up and tell us about Thy Kingdom Come, which is happening this week around the world. We all know about Thy Kingdom Come. I'm sure you all know about it. It's a global prayer movement, and we're delighted to be joining it again this year. It starts officially on Ascension Day on Thursday, but we are bringing it forward to today. So we're starting today with Thy Kingdom Come. And what we've got, you will find the centre with different prayer stations in them. The chapel will be turned into the sanctuary. So do drop in at any time. We are asking you to just book in for the sanctuary so that people can have an hour dedicated to themselves to pray there. And also, we're trying to outreach. So on the railings, you will see some ribbons. And we're encouraging you or anybody you see passing by to just not have to write a prayer, but say a prayer while they're tying a ribbon on the rail. And there's also prayer cards there on the railings for people to write their prayers. Pop them in the post box by the church, and they will be in the prayer room and they will be prayed during the week. We're starting this afternoon with at 4 o'clock with prayers at the Octagon. So do, if you don't know much about the Octagon, it's a wonderful opportunity to go and pray and find out more about them. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, there's led prayers here. Claire Jackson is leading Love and Agape. On Tuesday, there is a prayer walk starting here that Mike Pedrick is going to lead. Wednesday, there's the prayers at All Saints at 9 o'clock. Thursday, being Ascension Day, Susan Crumpler is leading a lovely Ascension Day waiting room at All Saints from 4 till 5 o'clock. You know, it's a wonderful time. If you're free at that time, do come along. And that evening, between 7 and 7:30, there's prayers on Zoom. And Friday, normal prayers here at 9:30 again. But as I say, drop in during the week, come and pray and see what's happening at the centre. And today we're going to start it off later on at prayer time. There's little hearts in your chairs, and we would like you to pray or write on those where you want to see God's kingdom come. They will be displayed down the hall, so they're going to be clipped on ribbon for people to see. So, you know, maybe nothing too personal, but just for you to write. So, and Claire will introduce that later. So, do come and join in. Thank you. Thank you, Helen. Do leave me one.
Yeah,
thank you. Leave you. I'm going to ask Chris to come and do the reading.
This morning's first reading is Psalm 98 and can be found on page 603 of the Church Bibles. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. This morning's second reading is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, and it can be found on page 942 of the Church Bibles. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
In our prayers this morning, we're going to use the hearts that you've got in your chairs. So I invite you to find the heart. And I'm guessing Helen will come round like a magic pen fairy if you need a pen. There are pens there as well. So find your heart, and the first thing I want you to do with your heart is I want you to think about the things that you have seen or heard or sensed this week that are on your heart. No pens yet. The pens come later. Think about what you've seen or heard or sensed this week that's on your heart. It might be in the world. It might be in this country. It might be in this community, it might be in this church, it might be in you, but think about what that is. And please, I invite you to use the silences in the prayers to pray for your stuff, the things that are on your heart. So I'm going to give you some space to pray, for us all to pray, and there'll be plenty of silence for you to pray too. And the response that I'm going to ask you to use today is when I say we pray together, I invite you to say, Thy kingdom come. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for Ukraine, where you've given hope, joy, and answered prayer this week. We say thank you, Lord. And we stand with the people across that nation and Ukrainians across the world as they have so much taken away. Bring light and hope in their darkness, we pray. And in the silence, we pray for the things that are on our hearts. We pray together. Thy kingdom come. Sometimes the difficult things that are around in the news and in conversation get in the way of the good things. But we say thank you to you, Lord, for hope and joy this week across our nation. And we stand with people who've had things taken away. People who are cripplingly affected by fuel poverty and price rises. Families, single people, farmers, food sellers, importers and industrialists, and all those involved in negotiating with the rail workers. In the silence, think about what in this country is on your heart that you want to pray to God for today. We pray together, thy kingdom come. We think about joy in our own community. We thank you for hope and joy, for Georgie and Owen's wedding yesterday, for the work of Early Birds, the Octagon, Holiday at Home, and all the things that happen through this church in this town throughout the week. Lord, we pray that you would use us to increase hope and joy in this place, in this town, and in our workplaces. And in the silence, we pray for the things that are on our hearts. We pray together, thy kingdom come. So as you hold your heart and your pen now, think about where you want God's kingdom to come and what you're going to be praying this week when you say the words, thy kingdom come. And I invite you just for the moment to write that on your heart. Later on, we'll collect the hearts together. But right now, just write on your heart. What's your prayer for this week where you want God's kingdom to come? At the end of the service, we're going to have a moment where I'm going to invite those to be put into the bucket of joy, and then they will be hung in the hall, and others will pray alongside you. But for now, let's just pray together for ourselves. Lord, we pray that you would deepen our faith, that you would make us more like you, and give us the confidence as we pray, thy kingdom come, for these things that are on our heart. That you would enable us to be part of the answer as well as part of the prayer. In the silence, we just hold before you the things that are tender on our hearts today, whether it's about our stuff or about other people. And let's use the words of the Lord's Prayer to pray, thy kingdom come. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So Judith is going to come up now and speak to us. Judith, is it okay if I pray for you as you come up? Lord, thank you for Judith and her wisdom and insight that she's bringing to us this morning as she shares with us your word and digs into it with us. We pray that we would be attentive and listen to your word and where you want us to step forward with you in new and different ways. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here speaking to you about our series, which, if you haven't been with us the last few weeks, we have been starting a series on the fruits of the Spirit, which we find in Galatians 5. But today we've been looking at two Old Testament passages, and I think I can safely say it's a first for me. I have never before spoken on Habakkuk. And indeed, I had to look it up in the index, I confess, to find it at first. So don't feel embarrassed if you had to as well. If you do want to turn to it, it was on page 942, because I will be referring to it a little bit as we go forwards. So over the past few weeks, we've been encouraged to think and pray about which of the fruit of the Spirit we would particularly like to grow in, or which we feel that God would particularly like us to grow in. And it so happens that for me, it is joy that I feel I really need to understand and grow in more. So finding out that I was actually preaching on it was at once slightly nerve-wracking, because I felt, gosh, am I actually confident, competent to talk on this subject? But I was also excited. I think my mic's cutting in and out. Let me know if I should go over to the lectern mic. We'll keep going for a while. But I'm also excited to find out more. And so I hope to take you on a little bit of a journey, which I've been travelling on over the last few weeks on this issue of joy. So joy. First of all, I think sorry, let me just see if this is actually working. It is now. First rule of tech, isn't it? Is it on? And if not, if it is, give it a kick. So, right. The first thing, really, thinking about joy, is I had a load of questions. Maybe you'll relate to some of these. What is joy? Because isn't joy an emotion? Isn't it a feeling? And if so, how can it be a fruit that can grow in our lives? Can we feel more joyful? What if, like me, you're a fairly calm, fairly serious person? You don't have great ups and downs in your emotions. Can I abound in joy, given that that's my personality? Aren't the fruits of the Spirit more about character? Can they, and that can be demonstrated to others? Joy to me seems, or certainly seemed, more internal, more personal. You know, I can see how we can be more patient with others. We can be kind to others. We can be loving to others. Can we be joyful to others? Does that even make sense? Yes, we can bring joy to others, but can we be joyful to others? And is joy the same thing as happiness? And if it is, how can we choose to rejoice, as Habakkuk says that he will do? You know, can we choose to be happy? So I have a lot of questions. But I was also challenged because one of my favourite authors, Philip Yancey, says this about the fruit of the Spirit. What would happen to people's perception of Christianity if these 9 words came to mind when you said the word Christian: love, joy, peace, patience, etc. And I suspect that joy is not necessarily what a lot of people would associate with Christians. A famous EastEnders churchgoer, not known for her joyfulness. So I started with a bit of research about joy in the Bible. We've heard quite a few verses today that mention it. It turns out in the NIV version, the word joy appears 214 times. The word rejoice, which is definitely connected, appears another 154 times. So this is a big theme. And I get the feeling from that it should be characteristic of the people of God. So I looked at some of those 368 examples, and you'll be glad to know I'm not going to be going through them all one by one. But it quickly became apparent that joy crops up in very different contexts. And we saw that in our 2 readings today. The first one was Psalm 98, probably written for a festival. And the psalmist is rejoicing big time. And he is talking about all the good things that God has done for his people, his salvation, his love, his blessing, etc., etc. The other reading was written in a very different context, a time of impending national disaster and total crisis. The book of Habakkuk is a conversation between a man who is deeply troubled by the evil that he sees around him and God's apparent inaction. And I think I know how he felt. You know, as we witness the atrocities that are taking place in the Ukraine, in Syria, in Yemen, where is God? And worse than that, Habakkuk comes to realize as he talks to God that God is actually going to use a pagan foreign power, the Babylonians, to bring judgment against the land of Judah. How can that be? And yet he concludes in verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice. And we'll come back to how he gets there. But what I just wanted to really point out is that these two passages bring out that joy has to be much more deep than happiness. And one of the commentators I came across says this: happiness is not the same as joy. We won't be happy when something bad is happening. I'm sure Habakkuk was not happy about what was happening in his country. Joy is not happiness. It is a feeling. It is not just triggered by something external, though sometimes, of course, it is. And joy is a decision. It's a choice. It's an attitude to be and to remain thankful and optimistic and to remember God's goodness, to rejoice, in fact. Therefore, joy can be present in both good and bad circumstances. And that's why I asked Jane if we could have that lovely song by Matt Redman, rejoicing and blessing God in the good and the bad. So not only does the Bible show us that we can be joyful in different circumstances, but also we're actively commanded to rejoice. 1 Thessalonians, for instance, 5:16 says, be joyful always, rejoice always. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do we rejoice? Well, I don't think it's by, you know, plastering on a fake smile and getting out the tambourines. That is not the way that we rejoice. Nothing wrong with tambourines, by the way. They're great fun. But it's not, I think, you know, how we're going to grow that fruit of joyfulness. So I want to take a quick look at 3 things. What is joy connected to in the Bible? Where does it come from? What happens as a result of joy in our lives? And how can we help the fruit of joy grow in our lives? So, quick look at some of the things that the Bible says are sources of joy or help people to find joy. The very first reference is right back at the beginning of the Bible in the law. So in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, there are descriptions of the festivals that the people are told to hold. And the first one I'm picking up in is from Deuteronomy, which says, "Rejoice before God because he has blessed you." And so obviously that's a source of joy, isn't it? The blessings that we encounter from God. Lots more if you look at them. That's just one example. But also joy is linked to hearing and receiving the word of God. So one example from the book of Nehemiah, and the people had come back from exile in Babylon and they've had a big party basically, and the book of the law has been read to them. And it says that they celebrated with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So joy can come from engaging with the law. And actually, one of the things I love about preaching is I have to spend lots of time really digging into the Bible. And it is, for me, a real source of joy. But we can take that further. Obviously, people in the Old Testament didn't know the gospel. They had the book, the Bible, the book of the law, but they hadn't received that full gospel that we have. And we see that joy does coming from knowing and engaging with the gospel and engaging with the kingdom of God. So Matthew 13, verse 20, for instance, the parable of the sower, we are told about the one who hears the word and receives it with joy. And Acts 16:34, we're told of a man who was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Yet another source of joy, seeing God at work in our lives, in the lives of others. A biblical example, Jesus has sent 72 people out on mission, and we're told that they returned with joy, saying, "Even the demons submit to us in your name." So seeing God at work can bring joy. And finally, from my canter through the 368 verses, we find that encountering joy brings joy. And it did at both ends of his life. So I've put an example there from after his resurrection. We're told that the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the risen Lord. But right at the beginning, we're told that when Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth, she's newly pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And we're told that when she entered the house, the baby that Elizabeth is carrying leapt for joy in the presence of Jesus, even though he wasn't born. So encountering Christ brings joy. I've quoted a lot more verses than I do usually, because as I looked at the Bible, I just found more and more overwhelming examples and reasons for finding joy in our faith. And I think what we see in these and the many other verses is that ultimately joy comes from the Lord. And there's another lovely verse in Nehemiah, actually. It says, "On that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing, because God had given them great joy." God had given them joy to enable them to rejoice. And for those of us who have received the gospel, then joy comes from God, not because of our circumstances, not because we decide I'm going to try and be happy, but as a result of our relationship with him and the knowledge of our salvation. Now, this isn't a fleeting emotion like happiness, you know, because we've had a nice time or a nice bottle of wine even. It's something much deeper and permanent. And here Paul tells us that it comes from trust in him. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. Do you know what? We bring Jesus joy. Luke chapter 10, Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit as he saw his disciples learning about God. And we heard that verse from Zephaniah, where we're told that God rejoices over us That's a lovely thought, isn't it? That he rejoices with the joy that he gives to us. So that's some of the sources of joy. What happens as a result? Well, I guess we feel more joyful, don't we? Which is one thing. But I think there's more besides. And we've got an example for us in our Habakkuk reading. If you haven't had it open, that's great. We've already seen how he is choosing to rejoice in the most desperate of circumstances. And he does that by rejoicing in God and in his salvation. That's one of the things we've just looked at, isn't it? Talking about our relationship with God. I will rejoice in the Lord, he said. I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. But the result of that is strength. The next verse he says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. And by rejoicing in God in those awful circumstances, he says he believes that he's going to have the strength to cope with those circumstances. They're not going to go away. He's not going to feel happy about them. But he believes that he is going to be able to cope with them and to rise above those circumstances, come what may, because he is choosing to rejoice. And then he goes on to say, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. What's that about? What does he mean, feet like a deer? I don't think he was talking about this kind of deer. Sorry, it's not a brilliant quality photo. That was actually a deer in my back garden a little while ago, helping himself to my shrubs. I love seeing them. So that's a muntjac deer. I don't think that's the kind of deer we're talking about here. Habakkuk's thinking about the kind of deer they would have in the rocky hills of Judah, which needed to be able to scramble up and down treacherous cliffs onto dangerous cliff edges and not fall, to be able to stand firm. And I think that's what Habakkuk is referring to, no matter what the circumstances, no matter the danger, that as he rejoices in God, he would be given the strength and the balance to stand firm through them all. And this was the experience of the early church as well, wasn't it? As they're driven out of towns, as they were imprisoned, as they're living under the shadow of the cross, they were still able to say, rejoice always, and to stand firm in their faith. So how do we grow that fruit of joy in our lives? Perhaps especially in difficult times. How do we develop and strengthen that deep certainty of God's goodness that's going to lead to joy? We've already looked at some practical things, haven't we? We've talked about engaging with the word. We've talked about looking at how God is working in our lives and so on. But I want to suggest two really practical things that we get out of our readings today. And the first is to practice praising God and to grow in that practice. Maybe something you do already. I know it's something I have to actively remind myself to do. And, you know, just as we saw in Psalm 98, full of praise. And it's something that we can do. And it's something I've personally learned to value over the last few years. I've had nights when I've struggled to sleep because my mind is churning with things that are going on in my world. And something I've actually learned, that praising God instead of dwelling on the things in my head just helps me to calm down and to flip my mood. Praise can be really powerful. And the psalmist chose to do that through music, and we had reference to all sorts of different instruments. It's great. And I do that too. When I'm lying there trying to sleep, I've got a favourite little praise song that I mentally sing, and I just sing it over and over and over. And I feel the peace come, and I calm down, and I recover that equilibrium. And maybe you find music really helpful too. Maybe that's the way that you praise God, either singing or listening to worship songs. It doesn't have to be a worship song. It could be anything that helps you to praise God. But maybe there's something else that helps you to praise God. Maybe you like to get out into nature. and see creation. Maybe that helps you to praise God. I certainly enjoy that too. I was out in my garden the other day and I came across a slow worm, and they're so beautiful. And I really enjoy just sitting and watching them, watching it. They're not slow at all, by the way, slow worms. They're jolly fast if you disturb them. But I enjoyed watching him for a few minutes. Maybe doing something creative with the skills that God has given you helps you to praise him through painting or some kind of artwork. Maybe you can praise God when you go for a run or go to the gym and enjoy just using the body that you've been given. Whatever it is, as I said, praise is powerful. It's a way for us to rejoice in who God is and to take our minds off ourselves, onto him, and build that relationship. And secondly, we recognize, we can recognize the marvelous things that God has done for us and recognize his blessings. You know, it's a bit of an old-fashioned idea, perhaps, to count our blessings. But again, I think it really helps us to remember who God is, which feeds back into praise. And as that Matt Redman song says, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. I put this picture of a sandcastle in because it kind of reminded me, if you think when you're on the beach and you build a sandcastle, and if you think of the sandcastle as yourself, and maybe you build a little moat around it and you dig a little channel down to the sea so the water comes into the moat. But after a while, the tide starts to come in, the water comes into the moat and it starts to wash away at the sandcastle and it starts to crumble. And then you have to dam your little river and sort of put more sand in to stop the water coming in to wash away the sandcastle. And for me, I think that's kind of what counting our blessings does. It adds in the sand. It dams up that flood of doubts and worries and negativity. And it helps us to keep that sandcastle standing firm. So that's kind of how I see blessings. They just help us not be as affected by the problems and worries and doubts. And there's so much that we can thank God for, isn't there? So, back to my questions. Is joy an emotion? Yes, it is something we feel. But I've concluded that it is a deep, constant, not a transient emotion that just bubbles up now and again. Does it impact others? Yes, I believe it can. Even if we're not a bubbly, happy-go-lucky person, I think our choice of how we respond in different situations will affect other people. If we choose to try and remain positive, if we choose to remain thankful rather than becoming bitter or angry or grumpy. So joy in our lives will affect others. And yes, it can be grown. I probably won't ever be a really light-hearted person. I'm probably never going to be somebody who frequently laughs out loud. But I do believe that joy can grow in my life. Joy can grow in your life. And we do that through choosing to rejoice, through praise, through thanksgiving, through recognizing all that God has done. And as we do that, we are going to know more of the joy that comes from God and the peace that comes through that in all circumstances. So we're just going to have a couple of minutes now. I'll leave that slide up, and perhaps you might like to just think, are there things at the moment that you feel are threatening your sandcastle? The doubts or worries that perhaps are coming in and undermining that relationship and trust. Maybe there's something you need to just acknowledge. And then just think of something that God has blessed you with and take a moment to praise him for that. We'll give you a couple of minutes to do that, and then I think the worship group will be coming up to lead us in another song.
But count your blessings, name them one by one. There'll be people here who remember that. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you will be delighted what the Lord has done. Is that beautiful? So I'm just sitting here thinking about what you've said and thinking about thy kingdom come. And the things that we're writing on our hearts, these are future blessings, aren't they? That we're collecting together. So let's stand and sing together Joy to the World.
It's a Christmas song. Not just a Christmas song. And it's not just Joy to the World either, but you'll find out when we get there. Let's stand.
While we're singing this last verse again, because we're praying for future blessings and future joy. So can we just add joy to the world again?
Yeah, can we just sing the first verse again, actually? I think rather than the last. We'll sing the first verse again.
Can you pop them in?
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
Then please do that. If you'd like prayer, there's prayer available at the back. But let's say together, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will not offer to God offerings that cost us nothing. Let's go in peace and serve the Lord. We will seek love and joy and peace and pursue them. In the name of Christ. Amen. And do put your hearts in the bucket of joy at any point.